This show proudly sponsored by Real American Freestyle Wrestling. Real American Freestyle is the first ever unscripted pro wrestling league created by Hulk Hogan, Chad Bronstein, Israel Martinez, and Eric Bischoff. RAF gives the world's top wrestlers the stage they earned but never had until now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to One Nation. I'm Brian Kilmeade. Hope you had a fantastic weekend. It's going to end strong. Coming up on this show, Mayor Eric Adams wants to make sure he gets this job for another 4 years. What does he need to do to make it happen? He's going to be with us in a matter of moments. Senator Joe Manchin left the Democratic Party, but he's upset on what he left behind as he revisited Washington. He'll be with us from West Virginia. And Governor Ron DeSantis, the truth about Florida's alligator Alcatraz. But first, the fastest, most impactful monologue in America. The theme this week, an aggressive drift of the Democratic Party, big time. And nowhere is that drift more visible, more dangerous than right here in New York City, the city that was once the beating heart of American ambition, of grit, and of pride, now teeters on the edge of radicalism, communism, thanks to the stunning rise of socialist assemblyman, unaccomplished Zohran Mamdani. His views, so far left, even Democratic leaders are privately panicking.
I've become the therapist in chief, it seems. So I'm saying, everybody, we're going to be okay. Maybe it's the mom in me. I know how to calm down situations, and we'll get through this.
It's own party. Hochul, the governor, says she'll block Mamdani's tax the rich plan. But how many other bad ideas will she have to bat down, I ask you? His policies, a blueprint, in my view, of chaos. Free buses, free child care, city-owned grocery stores, freeze the rent on apartments, and this.
When we talk about defund the NYPD, the entirety of the push is defund the NYPD and refund all of these different social services and things that actually create safety.
Create safety? New Yorkers know what that means. It means fewer cops, more crime, sending social workers instead of police officers to emergencies like domestic disputes. We tried this. It failed miserably. What's worse, some Democrats are so blind to what's going on.
I think he's a very personable, smart young man.
It's just beautiful to have someone who is so authentic. You know, that money cannot buy that.
Zohran Mamdani is an incredible talent. He is going to be a great mayor.
AOC and Zohran, that's a winning combo.
You know, the overall impression on me was this guy is not a communist. He's not a socialist. He's an advocate for small C capitalism.
If anyone has any reservations, you know, I think it's important to meet and hear it straight from the source and make a determination from there.
Yeah, we're hearing it straight from the source. And by the way, he is a big C communist socialist. He is not a capitalist. He doesn't like capitalism. He might be a nice guy, but the problem is what he does and what he thinks. Now, how much fun he'd be at the mall matters, but not that much.
He sponsored legislation that would have the government restrict the amount of miles you can drive in your car. Oh. He's also sponsored legislation that would require sex education for kindergartners. I mean, this is the length and the radical agenda that he's had in the state assembly. And by the way, he's been there for 5 years and he's only passed four bills. The most significant one is allowing alcohol in a museum. So, you know, he really hasn't taken the job seriously. And it really, I think, questions his ability to be the mayor of the greatest city in the world.
Right. I'd love to get drunk at the Museum of Natural History. And while crime surges and small businesses struggle, Mamdani refuses to engage any tough questions. He dodges the press. He shuffles out of the back of events like this week at his high profile breakfast in D.C. with AOC, where instead of standing firm, Mamdani ducked out the rear. Why? To avoid questions over his controversial beliefs. This is what he has said in the past.
If there was any system that could guarantee each person housing, whether you call it the abolition of private property or you call it, you know, just a statewide housing guarantee, it is preferable to what is going on right now.
Do you condemn that phrase, globalize the intifada? That's not language that I use.
But do you actually condemn it?
I've heard from many Jewish New Yorkers who have shared their concerns with me.
I don't think that we should have billionaires.
His handlers cannot control what he says, but they can control his access. Does that sound familiar? I'm having Joe Biden flashbacks.
I'm not supposed to be having this press conference. I'm not supposed to be answering all these questions. I'm going to get in trouble with my staff. Yeah, go ahead, but I pretend that you didn't answer you. I'll take your questions, and as usual, folks, they gave me a list of the people I'm going to call on.
Ladies and gentlemen, they gave me a list here.
I'm not supposed to take any questions, but go ahead.
Pakistan should not, and Afghanistan should be
all the Eastern Bunny, Mr. President.
Yeah, the Easter Bunny. We witnessed that game of hide and seek for too many years. We can't allow it to happen again. Since the Democratic mayoral primary, New York City Mayor Eric Adams, now running as independent, has had a surge in donations. He's up to $1.5 million. He's also acquired endorsements from 13 police unions. But according to the latest poll, here is where we stand on the Real Clear average. Mamdani's in first by about 11. Then you have Sliwa, and then you have Adams. This isn't a fringe movement. This is real. This is happening. It starts in New York, ladies and gentlemen, but it will not stay in New York. That's why this matters nationally. Americans in every city need to start paying attention, because if Mamdani is the future of the Democratic Party, we've got bigger problems than just here in New York City. Joining us now to discuss this is a man who wants this job for four more years, New York City Mayor Eric Adams. Mr. Mayor, did I hit you with anything new in that introduction?
No, you did not.
You know what you're up against.
Yes, yes.
Where was the opposition research in the Democratic primary? Wasn't Cuomo supposed to walk away with that?
40 points. He was 40 points up in the poll. And the day before the election, his team stated that he was 10 points up in the poll. He lost by 13 points. And that is why, when you look at the polls, I have yet to start campaigning. These guys have been campaigning. They've been selling their product. Now I'm going to get out and sell mine.
Does it worry you that you have 14%? Because we've seen you in action for 3.5 years. Why is New York not rallying to you?
Well, good question. Because if we're really honest about how my administration was covered, you have not witnessed any of my highlights. When I go into town hall meetings, older adult centers, and I tell them what our record is around dropping taxes for working class people, reducing the cost of child care, public safety. They walk out saying, Eric, we didn't know that. My highlights have never been told. Now I could use my money, the $4 million I have on hand, and go to speak directly to consumers so they can learn a real record.
You didn't get matching funds. Why?
Because of the indictment. And then now the judge has ruled the standard they were using does not apply correctly. It's not constitutionally sound. And so now the campaign finance board, they're asking for a few more records. Now we're going to turn it over to them. We feel we're going to get the indictment. But if not, I still have to only raise $2 million more that could max out, because you can only spend $8 million on the campaign.
So President Trump said on Eric Adams, he says, I think he's a very good person. But when he was asked this week about the race, he brought up Cuomo.
Andrew Cuomo staying in the New York City mayor's race.
I think should stay. I think he has a shot.
Would you prefer him over?
Well, I don't want to say, you know, I'm a Republican. He's a Democrat or an independent. No, I think Andrew would have a good shot of winning.
You surprised he didn't say, I want Eric Adams?
No, I think what he's stating is that anyone but Mamdani. He realized our city can't go backwards, and he's focused on that. I think the entire nation is looking at what's happening here. We have to get it right. And we're running more than only running against the candidate. We're running against a philosophy.
DSA,
their philosophy is not the values that I believe in, and far too many New Yorkers don't believe in.
Do you have something against billionaires? Because it seems like Governor Cuomo has a problem with billionaires, and Mamdani has a problem with billionaires.
Well, you know, Andrew knows better, and he knows the financial, economic, and the, I like to say, the system that we have here. I want the person who is the billionaire sitting in the back of the limousine to have a prosperous life, and I want the person who's driving the limousine to have a prosperous life. That ecosystem is important for the city when you look at our tax base. Billionaires assist us in keeping police officers on our streets, teachers in our schools, etc.
Does Mamdani have some, he got young people to vote vote, and there was a big turnout in that primary. That's undeniable. He did not get the minority vote, but he's addressing affordability in New York City. Have you fully addressed that?
Well, first, let's look at the percentage. The numerical minority voted in the primary. 2.5 million Democrats did not vote, a million independents, and several hundred thousand Republicans did not vote. And when we talk about affordability issue, look at what we have done. And that's why it's important to get my story out. We put $30 billion back into the pockets of working class people. No income tax for low-income New Yorkers, paying off medical debt, reducing a fare on our subway system, we reduce fare metro cards, paying college tuition for our foster care children. Those are real results that we're showing.
So you were, this week there was a lawsuit filed over 300 pages by a former commissioner that you selected, Tom Donilon. He accused you, Mr. Mayor, and police cronies of running the department like the mob.
Did you read that in that lawsuit?
The 300 pages now.
Right. I mean, what type of rant was that? And whomever is his lawyer, she should fire him. Misspelled, typos, spaces left open. This was a rush to be part of this political conversation, and the attorneys are going to handle that. You smell politics all over this. All administrations make a determination who they want to head the police right. department. And what I saw in Tom, unfortunately, was not the ability to continue.
Do you need Curtis Sliwa and Mayor and Governor Cuomo to drop out to win?
They shouldn't be in the race, particularly Andrew. But if they're in the race, you have to come up with a plan that's not based on wishes and hopes. I know what I must do. Remember, and I keep reminding people, I was 13 points behind Andrew Yang, and I ran against an oppressive field. ex-HUD secretary, a major financier, former people in government, and we were able to mount a campaign based on a scenario that was in front of me. Andrew Yang was beating me almost double digit in black men because of his UBI program, another giveaway. But I was able to go and speak to New Yorkers, and we turned that around.
Do you like working with President Trump? It seems like you guys have hit it off.
Well, just the same with President Biden. Let's be clear. President Biden came to this city, visited me, and made sure that I was able to deal with the law enforcement crisis. I believe we're supposed to work with presidents and right. not war with presidents.
It just didn't seem like he wanted to work with you at the end. And I know you'll probably talk about that at a different
yes.
time.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Mayor, best of luck.
Thank
it's
you.
Going to be an interesting. The whole country is watching to see if you can stop the socialist.
Yes.
Or if it's going to be Curtis or Governor Cuomo. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Great to see you.
The D brand has been so maligned from the standpoint of it's toxic.
Remember that? Former Senator Joe Manchin calling the Democratic Party toxic just last year. And that was before all the craziness and divisions that we're seeing right now within that party. So what does he think about the direction of his former party now? Because he went independent at the end. Let's ask him. Former senator from West Virginia in West Virginia, Joe Manchin. Senator, your thoughts, I know you're just on Capitol Hill, and I'll talk to you about your message on rare earth, but what are your thoughts about the party as you see these big crowds with Bernie Sanders, AOC, and the socialists winning in New York City for the Democratic primary?
Well, Brian, it's not the Democratic Party that I knew or that I was a part of for many, many years. The Democratic Party I grew up in was responsible. They were compassionate. They were fiscally responsible. They understood that they had to do their part but help those who needed help. But get up and do something for yourself. There's none of that right now that we can see of. And this socialist trend that's going on is something that I couldn't stomach anymore. And it's why I left. And if the National Democratic Party doesn't get back to more of a center or center left, there won't be a party that they're going to recognize at all. So the far left, if that's where it's going, then let them have their own party. That's another party in itself. It's not the Democratic Party that I knew, and not the one I think the American people will accept.
I mean, you and AOC were brawling a lot, directly through proxies, whatever. Senator Fetterman's the only one left to speak up and speak his mind. Would you recommend moderates stand up and just take on their own party, or would that create more division?
Well, in both parties, you have to speak up. You can speak truth to power, Brian, as long as you do it respectfully. Respect the office of the person you're speaking to, if it's a fellow senator, a fellow congressman, right. if it's the President of the United States. If you disagree, do it respectfully and always have something positive to add to it. But when you're basically wanting to give everything away and hold no one responsible, open borders don't work, no crime as far as no penalty for the crimes you commit, that's not who we are as a country. And they're not going to accept that. I don't care what brand you use. And if you're hiding behind a Democratic Party, that is not the Democratic Party that most of us grew up in. And it's not the Democratic Party that used to work very well with our Republican parties. We want the grand old party to be grand again. I'd like to have the Democratic Party to be responsible again. That's not too much to ask for.
So let's talk about what you were on Capitol Hill talking about, and that's rare earth. Yeah. I understand that Texas, California, maybe South Carolina, they're opening up mines and going to start mining in our own country. How soon till we could start taking a bite out of the monopoly that China has? They say they have locked up 90% of the earth's rare earth.
They've done this over a period of two decades or more. They basically had a desire to do what they've done. They've accumulated these resources. They do the processing in their own country, and they're holding the rest of the world hostage. I want to commend and thank President Trump for saying that we can do something for ourselves. And basically, I was just out in Wyoming at the Ramaco Group, which I'm involved with, basically opening up a new coal mine that has rare earth minerals. It's a tremendous opportunity. And you can't ask someone in other countries to do what you won't do for yourself. So with the president leading right now, President Trump, opening up and pushing rare earth minerals, everything we use in modern life today, whether it's the cell phone you're using, basically your car you're driving in, no matter what you are, you're using these rare earth elements that provide the chips, the magnets that you're going to need. And with that being said, we need to have reliable supply chains. Ourself, Canada, Australia, all of our allies that we can depend on have to be working together for this to work, Brian, and that's the only way we can get up to speed. If not, Xi Jinping and the Chinese country and government will hold us hostage, and they're going to hold everybody in the free world hostage for what they have a monopoly on. We cannot allow that to happen. We've got to get in the game very quick. That was my message to Congress.
Absolutely. And you also didn't stop there. And by the way, we got to do it, and we got to get the refinery, not just get the rare earth. We got to refine it right here. Now, also, why we're letting them do it, I don't know. And we're debating it. It should just end it. Chinese are buying farmland by the acre, and they're buying a lot of land around our military bases. Do you think that Congress has got the message to stop it? They're spending $13.7 billion, an increase of 83% from the previous year.
Brian, that is absolutely unacceptable. It's lunatic. It's crazy to allow that to happen. You've got four countries of concern, which me being on the armed services for years and years, they've told us four countries, China, Russia, Iran, North Korea, they're never going to have our interest whatsoever. Four major countries that are never going to feel like we do. They don't allow us to do the things that we're allowing them to do in our country. We should reciprocate. And I would implore the president to reciprocate against those countries for what we can't do in their country. We don't buy property. You don't have companies. You don't have billionaires from America or millionaires buying property in their countries next to their military bases. This is ridiculous for this to happen. It has to be stopped and reversed immediately.
Do you think did you make that message clear? Do you think they're ready to take action?
I hope they are. I'm making it as clear as I can make it. Do you think you can go to Russia? Can you go to China today?
No.
And buy property
we
next to the military base?
Can't even put Facebook in China.
You can't do it? There you go. There you go. So why are we allowing? We are a free and open society, but only reciprocate to those who want to do the same and reciprocate with us. That doesn't happen. That is not happening, and it should be shut down immediately. I implore the president, I would support the president 1,000% for doing anything he can to shut down the ownership of this property, of any type of property, whether it's in our agriculture or next to our military bases or anything strategically could be harmful to us.
Absolutely.
That has to stop.
Right.
And control the borders. If you're going to control the borders, control it all.
Exactly. And you know who said they want to control the borders? Bernie Sanders and John Kerry. I don't know where they were the last 10 years, but now they realize what you've been saying. You got to control the border. Senator Joe Manchin, thanks so much. Thanks to you. We still have a filibuster. Thanks to you, we don't have two additional states. You stopped a lot of bad things from happening, and we appreciate it. Thanks so much, Senator.
Well, you, Thank you, Brian. Just got to believe in this great country of ours. God bless America.
Absolutely. Meanwhile, next on this in this great country, on this great show, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is here to set the record straight about alligator Alcatraz. And still to come, Trump goes all in on AI. Mike Rowe is here on what it means for jobs in America. And by the way, you can catch me on stage coming up quicker than you know. August 23rd in Dallas, Texas, Will Cain promises to greet me on stage. Lawrence Jones and Lieutenant Colonel Alan West. Richmond, Virginia, September 27th, all part of Fox Nation streaming. Go to BrianKilmeade.com so I can see you in person. Bring up the music. We're back. Alligator Alcatraz, Florida's migrant detention center, deep in the Everglades, opened earlier this month to house murderers, rapists, gang members, all awaiting deportation. And Democrats are pouncing.
Every Floridian should be ashamed that our taxpayer money is being used to put people in these cages.
This place needs to be shut the hell down. Yeah. It needs to be shut down. This place is a stunt, and they're abusing human beings here, and it's an outrage.
She's got no credibility. And the Washington Post paints a far more grim picture. Here's one of the quotes. Portable toilets routinely back up. Sewage needs to be collected, trucked out. Swarms of mosquitoes attack detainees and staff. Without permanent structures, electricity, or running water. Drinking and bathing water has to be brought in several times a day, but is in short supply. Well, joining us now to set the record straight is the Florida governor, who came up with this idea, picked the place, and executed the building, Governor Ron DeSantis. Governor, how do you feel about the way your facility is being broken down and described by Democrats?
Well, I'm not surprised. I mean, that's just what they do. I would tell you this, though, Brian. I've been involved in fighting illegal immigration since the first day I became governor here in Florida. We've worked very closely with angel parents. You know, we've had these angel moms whose kids were killed by illegal aliens. I never saw any of those Democrat politicians offer any sympathy for any of the angel moms or the angel dads. I never saw them offer any sympathy for problems that have been caused by illegal immigration. Instead, they're posturing there, and part of it is because the Democratic Party itself is an endangered species in Florida nowadays. But I'll tell you this, that facility was constructed in a week. No one's ever seen anything that quickly. It meets and exceeds all of DHS's standards for those things. But at the same time, this is not supposed to be Club Med. This is a processing facility so that these illegal aliens, as you mentioned, many of them criminal illegals, that they are expeditiously deported to their home country. We want to play a role in assisting the Trump administration with increasing the number of deportations. Biden let in 7 to 10 million all by his lonesome, so there's a lot of work to be done. This is a very effective tool, and I think you're going to start seeing a really strong cadence of those flights leaving. That's an airport that all this stuff is constructed at. They literally get moved 2,000 feet, and they're on a plane and gone. And the final thing I'll point out is this. Every detainee, every illegal alien that goes into that facility to be processed, the first thing they are offered by DHS is an all-expense plane ticket back to their home country. They have the option of taking that and voluntarily deporting back to their home country. So nobody is actually forced to go to Alligator Alcatraz. They have provided that, the Trump administration, that option to simply get on a plane and go home yourself.
So let's talk about the detainees, the ones that that you can't get. You have to hunt down with ICE. You see the way they have to cover their faces. You see the way judges are pushing back and in Los Angeles saying Home Depots are a no-go zone. And as we see some of the video of what these ICE men and women have to do to track them down, how do we get on top of this? How do we get the respect back for this law enforcement agency that I know you have, but a lot of Americans don't?
Well, in Florida, we have a zero tolerance policy for attacks on law enforcement, period. But specifically, I've put out a directive to all of our state agencies to police very closely any attacks on those enforcing immigration law. This is part of what the left is doing to effectively nullify the rule of law, to put themselves above the rule of law by threatening and exacting violence against ICE agents. Now, in Florida, it's different than California. because our state government is going to encourage accountability. The sheriffs that we have in Florida, we got great sheriffs. They will hold people accountable. So I see what's going on in California. I can tell you that will not fly in Florida. And if people want to take those pot shots at ICE agents or state agents who are working alongside them, they're going to have the book thrown at them.
So let's talk about the president of the United States late this week said, let's just let go of all the Epstein documents. You feel the same way, right? You did that when you first took over.
Yeah, so when I became governor, I launched an investigation of Palm Beach and how they handled this. And that was 10, 15 years prior to me taking office. We also were able to get legislation to unseal all the Palm Beach County grand jury information. And I signed that legislation. I had a number of the Epstein victims with me there. They were in their 30s by then, but they were, I think, 14, 15, 16 years old at the time. But I think what we found and what we did in Florida is the feds came in back in 2006, 7, 8. They swooped in and they took the case. So if you want to talk about what happened at that island, New York City, all these things, that is all federal. So what I would say is just release it, let people see. But I do think there's a desire for justice because Jeffrey Epstein and Maxwell didn't just do this amongst themselves. I mean, there were obviously other people involved, and yet no one's been brought to justice.
How are you and the president getting along? You guys went at it pretty hard in the primaries, just like he did with Ted Cruz, just like he did with Marco Rubio. And then obviously things are going great.
I don't think that's true at all, to be honest with you. Yeah, I think that's just you guys trying to do. I don't think that's true at all. I think we get along great. We're working very constructively. No state has done more to support their agenda on illegal immigration than we have. No state is working more constructively on environmental restoration. I just did a huge announcement this week on working with the Everglades. And we've also returned almost $1 billion to them as part of their DOGE efforts. So I think it's been really, really good. And, you know, the state of Florida, we're the envy of the nation. I mean, people want to come here. People want their states to follow our lead, and we'll continue to lead with purpose and conviction.
I hear you. What would be next for you? I know you're going to run through the tape as governor. What would be your next challenge?
Well, I've got enough challenges on my plate now. I mean, I think that, you know, we have 23.5 million people here. We've got things happening all the time. I mean, the idea that, you know, I'm going to be, you know, worrying about things down the line, that's just not how I roll. I got to get the most out of my opportunity here to lead. And we're putting up wins daily, and we're going to continue to do that all through the end.
Got it. Governor Ron DeSantis, always great to see you. Thanks so much for your time, going 100 miles an hour. All right. Meanwhile, we move ahead. Donald Trump makes a major push to lead innovation over China and the kind of blue collar job that he needs. Mike Rowe knows all about it. And he'll be with us next.
Welcome to Fox News Live. I'm Marianne Rafferty in Los Angeles. Russia says it's open to peace with Ukraine, but insists achieving its war goals remains a top priority. Those include Ukraine withdrawing from Russia-annexed regions and abandoning its NATO aspirations. All terms Kyiv flatly rejects. That statement comes as Ukraine's president is calling for a third round of ceasefire talks this week. It also comes as Russia continues to intensify its drone and missile attacks. And President Trump is threatening Russia and countries that buy its oil with steep tariffs unless a peace deal is reached within 50 days. And military bases in both New Jersey and Indiana will soon be used to house undocumented migrants. Homeland Security is saying it needs space for as many as 100,000 migrants per day. Democrats are slamming the move, calling it a militarization of immigration. I'm Marianne Rafferty. Now back to One Nation.
One year ago, you had a dead country. We were dead. We didn't think you could ever come back. And now today, you have the hottest country anywhere in the world. It's true. This afternoon, 20 leading technology and energy companies are announcing more than $92 billion of investments in Pennsylvania. This is a really triumphant day for the people of the Commonwealth and for the United States of America. We're doing things that nobody ever thought possible.
President was pumped up this week, and he had a major win as well as the push to advance AI innovation over China and create more jobs here in the U.S. is well underway. Mike Groh knows all about it. He knows about those jobs that are going to be available. Anyway, he knows about AI. And believe it or not, when people start talking about what's advanced, he also talks about going back to the beginning. Mike, what was your takeaway from the trip to Pennsylvania?
It's crazy, man. I've been in a lot of rooms with a lot of big shots before, but I've never seen $92 billion committed at a single tranche. It's as if a memo has gone out to the C-suites, and the message that I've been pounding for the last 17 years has landed. I mean, I'm not here to take a victory lap by any stretch. We have a ton of work to do, but at least people are paying attention at the highest levels right now. And I think the reason I was invited to that thing and how I wound up on stage with the president and all the CEOs of the companies you just had on the screen was just to remind people that there is a difference between creating jobs and creating enthusiasm for jobs. And it would be a happy world if all we needed to do to get 7 million people back to work is create opportunities. Of course, we already have 7.5 million open jobs in this country. And that's where things get a little uncomfortable. You know, I mean, it's a celebratory event, and I hate to be Debbie Downer, but I'm the guy who sat there and raised his hand and said, look, carve off a little tiny sliver of that $92 billion and let's allocate it to help tell the stories of men and women who have prospered in these vocations that you're hoping to create and done well by mastering a skill that's in demand. We can't forget that part of the equation.
So I remember going to the Ford Museum. And Henry Ford, yeah, he was the guy. But he wanted to let everybody know, you work for me, you're going to be in the middle class. These are the houses you're going to have. I care to make sure there were places for the kids to play. And that's what you say. Paint the picture of what your life will be like. It's not just about the Elon Musk and Sam Altman. You got people putting this stuff together, building the buildings.
You have to make a persuasive case. And this is the... this is the eternal struggle, Brian. If you ask Caterpillar or Ford or Amazon to make a case for the opportunities within their own companies, it always winds up, you know, sounding like this, right? It sounds like marketing. They're patting themselves on the back. It's very hard to tell your own story when you're trying to recruit. I talked to Jim Farley the other day, who runs Ford today, and he's talking about going back and doing what Henry did 100 years ago. He's talking about building their own trade schools in their industry. And, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if other companies followed suit, because that's really what it's going to take. The automotive industry right now has 80,000 openings in collision repair and for techs. The maritime industrial base, the guys building our submarines are looking to hire 140,000 tradespeople. It's mind-boggling. There are 300,000-400,000 open jobs in energy right now. Don't even get me started on data centers. That's what that PA thing was all about. Data centers are basically AI factories, and we need to build thousands of them, stat, or we're going to lose. So people are ringing the alarm bell. They're starting to pay attention. And I'm just the guy in the back of the room saying, don't forget about the people.
Right. You do the trade schools. I also would love to see it in schools. That's why I think the Secretary of Education, again, Linda McMahon, needs to speak to Mike Rowe about getting wood shop, metal shop, and all those fundamentals into the schools so you don't have to necessarily sign up for an after-school activity. You just need to show up in the morning. I just think, Mike, it's so interesting because everyone's worried about AI knocking you out of jobs. What you're trying to say is the jobs are coming. Get the 7 million not working in this country working. Lastly, the tariffs are bringing a lot of revenue into this country and theoretically jobs. Are you starting to feel the ground shift a little bit over the last 6 months?
I'm rooting for it. But if he succeeds, you're talking about 2 million new jobs in manufacturing. We've got 482,000 right now in that sector that we can't fill. So if we can't fill the jobs we got, how are we going to fill the opportunities we intend to create? Somebody needs to unpack that quick.
But Mike, you did in the beginning, paint the picture of what your life will be like with these jobs, the type of living you'll make, and make it attractive, and then we'll reinvigorate that middle class. Mike Rowe, always great. Thanks so much.
Anytime, Brian.
Next, the media moments that matter with Carly Shimkus. Don't move, even though she is. You can't kid. You better call your mama
when you get to town. Media moments that matter.
It's time now for our favorite segment. Sorry, Eric Adams. This week, I gave the VCR, I gave the TV guide, and all my cords and tapes to Carly Shimkus.
Hello, and I didn't even electrocute myself.
I know you
did. Thank you for entrusting me with
that. Co-host of Fox and Friends First, the same Carly Shimkus.
That's right.
Carly, what did you come up with? I asked you to come up with three big stories.
Okay, so the first one is major news on the late night front because CBS is canceling The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, and they say that it is purely a financial decision. They say it's not related in any way to the show's performance, content, or other matters happening at parent company Paramount. So what are some of those other things that are happening? First of all, Paramount is trying to settle a multi-billion-dollar merger with another company that the Trump administration needs to approve. Separately, Paramount also just settled a lawsuit with President Trump over the deceptively edited 60 Minutes interview. And that is something that Stephen Colbert just criticized on his show. Listen to this.
Unlike the payoffs from ABC and Twitter, Paramount's settlement did not include an apology. Instead, that's good. Instead, the corporation released a statement where they said, "You may take our money, but you will never take our dignity. You may, however, purchase our dignity for the low, low price of $16 million. We need the cash." Now, I believe that this kind of complicated financial settlement with a sitting government official has a technical name in legal circles. It's big fat bribe. Because this all comes as Paramount's owners are trying to get the Trump administration to approve the sale of our network to a new owner.
I thoroughly believe if you treat a person or a company that's paying you, what, $20 million, and you go call them out on your national stage, what they gave you, I think you're open to getting fired 2 weeks later. You don't think it's related?
Well, listen, it may be. I'm sure that Paramount was not happy with that comment, but also ratings down and also ad revenue down 50% over the last 7 years. And I'm sitting here wondering if this would have happened at all if late night didn't become so political.
Absolutely. And what about Jimmy Kimmel weighing in, who, by the way, is ratings lower than Stephen Colbert's.
Yeah, so I wonder how he really feels about it. Well, he shared with this on social media. Love you, Stephen. Bleep, forget you and all your Sheldons, CBS, referring to another CBS
Young
show.
Sheldon,
Young
I guess.
Sheldon.
And
yeah,
the Big Bang
that?
Theory. For number one, I can't believe that arrogance because you're going to go weigh in on another network. I just think they're all. I think in 28, Jimmy Fallon's up. Seth Meyers up, and I think this guy's going to be going soon. It's in his last year of his contract.
I couldn't agree with you more.
When Pierce Morgan is here, I try to do everything I can to book him. And yes, this week, another reason why.
Oh, my gosh. It was one of the most fiery moments on TV, the internet this
YouTube,
week. Because yeah,
he's on.
Exactly. He had Joy Reid on his show, and he questioned her about why she claimed to have been fired from MSNBC because she is a black woman. Listen to this.
Now, Joy, I mean, look, let's be honest. I don't think you were fired after all those years because of your skin color or because you're a black woman. I think you were fired because your show just got increasingly unpopular. It happens all the time in TV. That's why you got let go. Why play the race card?
First of all, I love the fact that your play the race card is your version of the race card. You literally are so fixated on trying to racialize conversations with me, Pierce. I find it actually quite charming.
You racialize more conversations in your tenure at MSNBC than any host in history.
All right, Pierce.
And that is why Piers Morgan is popular, because he says what other people are too afraid to. Her ratings were down when she got
Absolutely.
Let go. I mean, just look at the numbers, and that's true. But she said that it was because she is an African-American woman.
Yeah, unbelievable. You got to watch this whole thing. And that's why he's killing it on YouTube. And he thinks he's the best host in America. And I don't really want to challenge him on that. ESPN had the ESPYs. And to show you that comedy's really back,
yeah.
It was politically incorrect, led by Shane Gillis.
Welcome to the post-cancel culture world, because Shane Gillis' opening monologue to the ESPYs is what everybody is talking about. Watch this.
Caitlin Clark, she and I have a lot in common. We're both whites from the Midwest who have nailed a bunch of threes. When Caitlin Clark retires from the WNBA, she's going to work at a Waffle House so she can continue doing what she loves most, fist fighting black women. Joe Rogan actually wanted me to be here to host this award show so that I could capture Adam Silver because Joe thinks he's an alien. And Donald Trump wanted me to be here to capture Juan Soto for the same reason. It's an alien joke. What are you booed up there, dude? Shut up.
The crowd was so mellow. And low. I thought it was hysterical.
Well, I'm sure that they did, too. They just didn't want to be caught on camera laughing. And I thought that one of the best jokes was when he said, everybody give it up for a four-time WNBA player. It said the name of the person. And then everybody clapped. And he was like, just kidding. That's my best friend's wife. And then she's like, I knew you didn't know any WNBA players.
It was great. Carly, you were great.
Thank you.
And I'll see you bright and early Monday morning.
You're great, too. I cannot wait.
All right. It's just going to be in a few hours.
Let's do it all over again.
You might want to change.
Yes.
Up next, a sneak peek of the week. And don't forget to follow me on social media, on Rumble, Instagram, X, Facebook, wherever you feel most comfortable. We also have a private club, Don't Tell Anyone, called Culper Club on Locals. Don't move. Born to pick a spot on any old map. I travel light in my bag. All right, before you go, your sneak peek of the week. Harvard and the Trump administration head to court in the battle over federal funding. That should be interesting. Maybe there'll be a deal done first. There's a House hearing to address the crisis of unaccompanied illegal children in the U.S. I'm against that. Former White House Chief of Staff Ron Klain is scheduled to testify about President Biden's mental acuity while in office. My sense is he takes the fifth. Meanwhile, President Trump is traveling to Scotland to refine a U.S.-British trade deal. Hopefully there won't be any problems and he can visit his golf course. NFL camps open up around the league. According to all the experts, the Giants will go undefeated. That is it for us tonight. Be sure to tune into my radio show Monday through Friday from 9 to noon. Matt Continente, Lawrence Jones, Michael Goodwin, other huge names coming your way. Be sure to watch Fox and Friends in a few hours. We'll be on, and it's going to be exciting. It's going to be real. I promise to make a lot of sense. Stay within yourself, America. That is it for us for now. Make sure you continue to keep it here on Fox News. I got to get going for Fox and Friends.
It's the Will Cain Show. Watch it live at noon Eastern, Monday through Thursday on FoxNews.com or on the Fox News YouTube channel. And don't miss a show. Get the podcast 5 days a week at FoxNewsPodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.